Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. We'll read verses 8 through 11, and we'll read this passage responsively. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. That is right after the book of Psalms and Proverbs. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. All things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for a place called church. Thank you that your presence is here, and this is your house. And as we gather here in your house today, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, there are so many hundreds and hundreds of people in this room, so many thousands of needs, so many diverse types of people and diverse types of needs. There's really no way one human could meet all those needs. But you could use our preacher and the Holy Spirit to help each and every one of us today. Please do that. May we listen for what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Today's sermon, I'm going to give you the title of it. It's called, Are You the Next One? Are You the Next One? By the way, Brother John Zittle, I'm glad to see you this morning. God bless you, buddy. We're glad to see you in church today. Are you the next one? This is what you would call a preventative maintenance type of a sermon. This is a sermon that I must preach alone. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit make it very personal to you. So if you say, Brother Owen, somewhere in that sermon, that got a little personal. Good. Good. That means the Holy Spirit is doing the work on you. Our church has no problems that I know of. But we're a united church. We have the most united church staff that I've ever experienced. We have the most united deacon board that I've just ever experienced. Been that way ever since I came here. Don't have a deacon that's contrary. Haven't had. We have a united congregation. Unity second to none. And that may be partially due to sermons like this one that I am about to preach. Pastors who survive in the ministry are the ones that realize that some of the same difficult things happen all over the world. When those difficult things finally happen to them, they're aware of the fact that it's not uncommon, and they survive it because they don't feel like they are personally under the gun in a unique way. They're just facing something today that somebody else faced 10 years ago, but they're aware of the possibility of that difficulty. Same thing for church members. Church members that survive in a church are not disillusioned because they were never illusioned. They realize that Satan is strong and active, and what happened at one time could happen at another time somewhere else. You read earlier from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. I'll remind you of some things that were said that will launch us into what I want to say for the day. Remember, the title of the sermon is this, Are You the Next One? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun. Notice here, it says, the thing that has been, or hath been, it is that which shall be. In other words, whatever happened once is probably going to happen again. Then it says, that which is done is that which shall be done. So it happens today, it's probably going to happen sometime in the future again. There's nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Have you ever heard that old saying that history repeats itself? It is very, very true. Man is repetitive in his failures. Most of you are. You're still struggling with the same problem you struggled with 5 years ago. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse number 10 says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. What is saying again? Really, nothing new under the sun. Same problem somebody had yesterday, somebody else will have tomorrow. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13 says this, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Common to man. In other words, if it is a temptation that you face, it's somewhere down the line, I'll face it. Somebody else has faced it, you will probably face it. Throughout history, Satan's temptation for man is pretty well identical. Oh, it may be wrapped in a different kind of wrapping paper, but when you get under the wrapping paper, it's the same old filth and smut and deception. The things that have destroyed Christians in the past will destroy someone in this room this year. The things that have caused men to fall in the past will cause someone in this church to fall this year. History does repeat itself. Now, it does not have to, but it does. Whatever happened to Christians across America in the past will happen probably in one form or another to someone here. Now, we're going to do all we can to avoid that from happening. Brother Butch, if you need to use good, thank you. We're going to do everything we can. Everybody look right this way, if you will. Look right this way, if you will. We're going to do everything we can to keep history from repeating itself in regard to many, many negative or difficult situations. But it is going to repeat itself. Here's the big question for today. Are you next? Are you the next one? Somebody's going to fall away from God. That's inevitable. But are you the one? Will you be the one that falls or is destroyed? And so everyone knows, nobody is immune. Nobody has an exception clause in regard to the temptation of the devil and the things that could destroy you. They've destroyed others. Greater people than you have been destroyed. No matter who you are. Finer Christians than you have stumbled and fallen. The question this morning is, are you next? Will you be the next one who reproduces a Judas-like behavior, the disloyalty to the Savior? Will you be the next one that produces a Korah-like behavior, causing disunity among God's people? And hurting Moses and the children of Israel? Will you be the next one that reproduces a Demas-like behavior, turning and forsaking Paul when Paul needed him the most? Will you be the next one that will reproduce an Absalom-like behavior, turning on his father? Will you be the one that reproduces the Cain-like behavior who rises up and murders his own brother? Will you be the one that reproduces an Achan-like behavior who hurt the armies of Israel, turned on the mighty captain Joshua, caused people to be slain because of his greed? Will you be the one that will reproduce a Jezebel type of a behavior that attacked the preacher named Elijah, tried to snuff him out? Will you be the one? Will you be the one who will be guilty of reproducing the behavior of a Bathsheba that took her clothes off, tempted a man, and fell into sin with that man? The question is, it's not, will it happen? My concern today is, are you the next one? Are you the next one? Now we get down to where the rubber meets the road. Are you the next one that will cheat on your mate? Someone will. Where are you, deceived one, sitting in this section up here? In this section right here, Are you the next one that will cheat on your maiden, destroying that which is holy, disregarding the holy vow that you took to stay together for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do you part? Where are you? Where are you? Because you're here somewhere. Are you next? Will you allow the devil to deceive you? Will you divorce a marriage that could have been salvaged? Have you already started the process? Are you the next one? That's the title of the sermon. Are you next? Secondly, are you the next one who will start a war with some church member? Someone will. If history repeats itself, and it does, and I'm sad that it does, history's got to repeat itself somewhere, but it doesn't have to repeat itself in you. Where are you, one that will start a war with some other church member? Are you sitting in this part of the balcony this morning? Do you sit in the choir this morning? Do you listen to this CD later on because you're working in junior church or primary church? Where are you? Are you the next one that will start a war with your brethren at the church, causing the outside world not to want to come to the church because they see dissension? By the way, let me remind you, I don't have any problems in my church. Best time to preach it is when it's not happening. It's the best time for me, too, because you just take it way too personally. You beat me up from the pulpit. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit beating you up. Will you hurt the church's unity? Will you damage the family-like atmosphere that we have here? Will you replace kindness with curtness? Of course, it's the other guy's fault, isn't it? Brother Bush, stand up here for a second. Brother Owen, stand up here for a second. Let me show you what I see people do. People can't get along with each other. You know, two people can't get along with each other. Usually it comes down to a show-off. It's a standoff. It's like two gunslingers waiting for somebody to draw their gun. One's a good enough Christian. He's over here, and it's basically that guy's fault. If that guy would apologize, he would. But the problem is this guy over here, he's standing here, and it is basically that guy's fault. And if he would apologize, you would apologize. So you get to stand there in your hatefulness and have a showdown that's getting us nowhere. Hey, look, if he would apologize, would you apologize?
Sure.
Hey, if he would apologize, would you apologize?
Yes, sir.
What are you waiting for?
I'm just waiting for him to apologize.
Ah, yeah. Well, what are you waiting for?
Waiting for him to apologize.
Huh. Do you like it? You're brilliant. You're a spiritual genius. Somebody needs to get right with God and say, I'm apologizing whether they do or not. I'm getting right with them whether they want to get right or not. I'm going to do this. Thank you, man. You see, have you already started the process? Are you next? Look at me. Look at me very carefully. It goes on in churches all over the country. Are you involved in it right now? And I don't know it. Is that what you want? Wake up and listen to what I'm saying. Open your spiritual eyes. Look beyond your surface Christianity and your big smile. Singing about unity in the song service, but stabbing in the back in private. Happens everywhere. Spiritual standoff. Couple gunslingers. You say, if they draw an apology, I'll draw an apology. Yeah, but I also know this. If they draw a criticism, you'll try to beat them to it. Are you the next one who will start a war with some other church member? Number three, are you the next one that will become nasty and bitter in your own life unto your own destruction? Will bitterness overtake you for the variety of reasons that are available? You know what the devil does? He comes along and says, really doesn't matter to me which one of the selections you choose for your reason for bitterness. He said, pick what you want. Just get bitter. The devil says, you pick from all my fragrances of excuses. All I want you to do is stink with bitterness. Someone will get so bitter they will self-destruct. Where are you? Are you sitting in this section of the balcony this morning? Are you sitting in this section of the lower floor? Who here? Who's next? Are you next? Are you the next one that will get so bitter that it blurs your vision? You're in this show down here, and you're thinking it's all their fault. They're the unreasonable one. You're bitter, and you're blind, and you're nasty. Unreasonable, you can't be handled. Where are you? Did you know that the only person you're for sure to hurt with bitterness is you? Did you know that if you're bitter with me, you're the one that's miserable? Are you bitter? Are you bitter at your mate? Are you bitter at a church member? Who's next? Are you the next one? Are you bitter at some family member? Are you the next one that will self-destruct? Hey, are you? I've been the pastor of this church for about 5.5 years. Are you bitter about the changes that have come in this church as a result of my leadership? Are you? Are you bitter that Brother Bush is the principal of Martinsburg Christian Academy? Who's next? Who? He said, Brother Orange, you think that's present? Tremendous possibility, isn't it? Happened somewhere else somewhere, didn't it? You ever heard of it happening? People can't handle the new pastor coming in or new Christian school administrator coming in and they're bitter about it? It happens, huh? So if it could happen somewhere else, it could happen here. But the question is, are you the one? History is going to repeat itself, but it does not have to repeat itself in you. Well, let's go on. Are you the next one? Are you the next one who will quit being faithful to your church attendance? Are you the next one? There are people in here who used to come to church all the time. Now we are blessed by your presence every once in a while. Are you the next one? Are you the next one that will cease to be faithful to God's house? Thinking about John Zittel, enjoy this. When I was doing the homegoing service for his dear sweet wife, her kids had told me, she said, Brother Holmes, I'll tell you how we were raised. We were raised that if the church door squeaked, we were in church. They're having church Sunday morning, we're in church Sunday morning. We were in Sunday school, we were in church Sunday night. We were in church Wednesday night. Back when you had 2-week revivals, remember Brother Smith? Back when you had 2 solid weeks of revival, 14 nights in a row. And those kids said, our mama said, we're going every night. Remember when you used to be faithful to church? Are you the next one that will become unfaithful to church? Have you stopped coming to church for the midweek service? Have you stopped coming to church on Sunday night? Do you stop coming to the special meetings? How about you? Are you the next one? Let me go on. Are you the next one who will change your belief about a soul-winning church and keeping people out of hell? Now, someone will. Happens all the time. Where are you? Where is that one that will change your belief about a soul-winning church and a church that wants to reach as many people as possible? Where are you? Do you sit in this section of pews today? Are you next? history will repeat itself, but it doesn't have to repeat itself in you. But wait a minute. Are you the one? You used to believe in a soul-winning church? You used to believe we ought to get the gospel out? You used to believe you ought to have altar calls? You used to believe we ought to go into the community and invite the lost? You used to believe that, but now you say, well, this is not the day and age for that. Huh? Are you a used-to-be soul winner? Who's next? Are you next? All these little kids around here coming and getting saved. They dirty up our bathrooms and there's bubble gum out there on the parking lot and I stepped in it. And you're more concerned about your shoes and the bubble gum than you are the soul of a little bus kid that came to our church that was told about Jesus and got born again. Have you already started the process of letting history repeat itself in you? One of the best ways to know whether or not you still truly believe in a soul-winning church is this. When was the last time you won anybody to Jesus Christ? Or even told anybody about Jesus Christ? Or have you started the process? Are you next? Are you next? I say, are you next? Are you the next one to cheat on your mate? Are you the next one who will start a war with some church member? Are you the next one that will allow bitterness to destroy you? Are you the next one that will become unfaithful to church? Are you the next one that will give up on soul winning and telling people about Jesus? Are you the next one that will attack our Christian school? History repeats itself. Doesn't have to repeat itself through you. I would speculate I'd like to pastor this church for another 30 years. But I've got a hunch somewhere along the line somebody's going to attack our Christian school. Where are you? This part of the balcony? Are you next? Is it someone sitting over here? Are you next? You don't like the policies of the Christian school. No, truthfully, most people don't mind the policies and rules of a Christian school. They don't like it when they're administrated. We can create all the rules in the world as long as you don't make us follow them. That's what bothers people. Will you be the one? Are you next? The school's not good enough for you? You don't like the demerit system. And again, that's probably not the case. You don't mind the demerit system. You mind when your child gets demerits. I don't ever have anybody come see me and say, well, so-and-so's child got demerits and I'm here to defend them. You let the demerit system beat the snot out of everybody else's kids, but when your child gets a demerit, you disagree. Well, you can see them coming. I was with you on them policies until my kid got in trouble. Are you the next one? Are you the next one? Are you already bitter at Martinsburg Christian Academy? It's going to happen. The question is, who's next? Is it you? Is it you? Where are you? Because I know you're out there somewhere. Say, how are you going to find them? I don't have to. The Holy Spirit will. And guess what else? If you just remember this sermon, when that person shows themselves, you'll say, there they are. Found them, Brother Owen! Where you at? You next? Are you already guilty? Hey, are you the next one that will attack a church staff member? But Smith, you've been in the ministry far longer than I. I'm going to guess it's going to happen. Question is it you? Somebody sitting in this section? Let's see. Is it you? Well, let's see, from all indications, everybody here has that potential. Is it you? Will you try to destroy them? Will you try to discredit them? Will you talk bad behind their back? Will you hurt them rather than help them? Have you already started the process? Hey, if history repeats itself, the devil's always got somebody in the congregation that is willing to be deceived into attacking the church staff. So it's there. You ever been there? Some of you need to stop and realize something. You are now that which you wish you would have never become. You used to look at people that behave that way, and you said, boy, look at what they're doing. Now you are doing it. Are you next? Are you next? Are you the next one who will attack our church? Someone will. Where are you? Are you sitting in the front part of the lower level? Are you the one? You're going to get your feelings hurt and storm out with revenge as a motivator? Oh, or maybe you'll just quietly slip out with revenge in your mind. Thank God it's been 6 years. I've seen no one leave this church and attack us. The ones that left, left very graciously. Yeah. But will you be the next one? I guess we stand a chance of seeing something like that happen. I mean, you ever heard of it happening before? Somebody storms out and rises up to attack. Starts getting on the telephone, calling everybody they can, telling them everything they don't like, poisoning the members. The question is, not would it happen, not could it happen. The question is it you? Or you? Or you? Are you next? Hey, are you next? Are you the next one who will be destroyed by your pride? Are you next? The Bible teaches that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Where are you? One lifted up in pride. Where are you? Are you singing in the special music department of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Where are you? Where are you, teenager, that are doing things that you should not do with the opposite sex? Somehow in your mind, you've got it in your head, well, I'll not be the one to get pregnant out of wedlock. I'll not be the one to father a child as a teenager. It's not going to happen to me. I'm above that. We played around and you didn't get pregnant before. We can play around again and again and again. Pride goeth before destruction, young people. Has it happened before? Have young people at the church had sex outside of wedlock and ended up pregnant with a heartache on their hands? Has it happened before? Are you next? Does your pride convince you it's not going to happen to you? Are you next? The question is not, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen to you? Huh? Good. Which young person is going to get expelled from school because of their pride and their arrogance? I don't know, Mrs. Smith was principal of this school for years. I guess it happened in the past. And it's going to happen again. Question is not, will it? The question is, who? You young people that go to the public school, you ought not ever get expelled from school. You're born again Christians. You ought to go to that public school and you ought to show them how good Christian boys and girls live and teenagers live. Ought not happen. Who's next? This is just the reality of life. History will indeed, because of the way the human race is structured, history will indeed repeat itself. But I'm trying to help you to realize it does not have to repeat itself in you. Are you next? Are you on your way to expulsion? Are you on your way to a pregnancy? And just so we're reminded here, you're not to have a physical relationship with anybody you're not married to. You say, that's old-fashioned. You're right. And morality and decency is old-fashioned. That's what we stand for here. Are you next?
Are you next? Where do you sit? Where are you? Are you next? Are you the next one that will be destroyed by your pride? Because you can run the church better than the pastor. That's why you make your little remarks. You can run the choir, brother and brother Nash. There are choir members all over the country that will rise up in their pride and be disloyal to the choir director and cause a fuss in the choir. Where are you at, choir member? Who's next? Are you next? Brother Mike Bajan, one of the finest men, one of the finest men in this state, one of the finest men in this country, our bus director sits right over here. Where are you, bus captain? Arrogant, full of pride. You know more about the bus ministry than Mike Bajan does. So you rise up, you do it your own way, you talk behind his back, you don't follow the policies and the rules that he sets up. Happens, doesn't it, Brother Bajan? Happened all over the country. Some assistant pastor is leading a ministry and somebody in that ministry, they know more about the bus ministry. They know how this ought to be done. And that bus director, he doesn't know what he's doing. Where you at, bus captain that won't listen to what he's trying to tell you? Where you at? You're here? Are you next? Are you the next one that will lead that ministry because you can't handle following? Are you next? Will your arrogance and pride eliminate you from this church? Because this church is not looking for leaders, we're looking for servants. You should be on the deacon board. And you're going to take your talent somewhere where they'll appreciate you. If I were you, I'd take a breath. You could pass out from lack of oxygen. Just remember your Lamaze classes, ladies. You'll be okay. You're not going to have a baby. And a couple of you chunky men need to remember your Lamaze classes, too. You should have been selected as a leader. And there's been a root of bitterness in you ever since. You should have been the next bus captain. You. You. Mm-hmm. You. You're the one that should have been hired on staff. You're bitter that you weren't. Where are you? Let me tell everybody here something. Those of you businessmen, you'll have to be careful. You may get the idea you know more about God's business and running a church than the preacher does. If God called you to pastor the church, he would have let you know. Those of you that have experienced leadership in life, leadership out in the business world, or leadership in another church, if you really know something about leadership, you will most impress this leader by your submission, your good attitude, and your humility. You will not impress me with your cockiness, your arrogance, your desire for position. That doesn't impress me. You say, well, I'll get you then. I'm expecting it. You say, but Brother Owens, you're a pussycat. That's in the feline part of the animal kingdom. And for every pussycat, there's a tiger. Be careful, bud. I just called everybody by their nickname in West Virginia. Are you next? Are you the next one that will leave our church in a hateful, angry way? Someone will. If history repeats itself, someone will. And you say, but it's not me, Brother Owens. I don't know who it is. I started this sermon by saying, this is one I have to preach alone because I don't know. This is one of those where I go to my office and shut the door and I weep when I'm done. Because I hope it's not you. I hope it's not you. Where are you, the one that will leave in an angry and a vicious way? A church splitter. Where are you, church splitter? Not experienced that yet in my ministry. Never. I've not experienced it in my personal ministry. I work so hard to keep it from happening. I want God's people to get along. But just so you know, peace at any cost is not in my vocabulary. I've got to have peace with my God first. And then if you're on the same ticket and the same program, we'll have peace. But peace with my God is more important to me than peace with man. I'd like to have both. Who is it? Angry? Hateful? Church split? I couldn't imagine it here. I couldn't. I just couldn't imagine that in our church. That's what's so scary about it. When they say, peace, peace, watch out. It may be that war is inevitable. And I'll tell you something. Any of you that are guests, ask any of our people. This is a happy church. You heard us sing. I mean, we're happy. I don't know of anybody that's at somebody else's throat or out to kill them or anything like that. Oh, God, I'd like to keep it that way. There are big church splits and there are small church splits. There are those that one will leave and they'll draw everyone else they can away very cautiously. Are you a potential church splitter? Have you already started the process? Hey, let me tell you something. And please, the new people that have moved into this area to become a part of this church, the spirit of this church has been fantastic for years and years and years. I mean, happy and unified, and we love each other, and we understand people fall, and we help them get back up. Let me ask you to do me a favor, and everybody that's come here and joined us, we love you, we want you, we accept you, but don't tinker with our church. It's not, God didn't call you to change it. We got a winning lineup. Let's not change the lineup. Hey, listen, are you the next one? Are you the next one? Are you the next leader in the church that will, hey, maybe you'll take some of our people and go start you a church somewhere around here. Are you next? Happens, doesn't it? Ever heard of it? Somebody gets mad and get him a group of people and pulls them aside and they go start their own little work. You men that used to pastor and now you're here and you allow me to be your pastor. Be careful. You know what you're known for? Not you personally, but you know what ex-pastors are known for in churches? Splitting them. Is this too realistic for y'all? Hey, you don't get this through your digital channels. It's better than pay-per-view, isn't it? And I'm in living color. You know, my problem is right now, you can't turn me off by pushing a button. Only Brett can. I wonder how many. My policy has always been, I don't think that someone ought to start a fundamental Baptist church within 50 miles of another one. I can do what they want, but I think ethically that makes a lot of sense. Oh, but they do it. I don't know. I thank God for the men that used to pastor who are now in our church. They feel like God brought them here, and some are here to retire and to serve the Lord here. They don't give me a moment's problems, not one of them. Not one. But let me tell you, it's common. Have you started the process in your mind? Are you next? Are you the next one that will attack the pastor? Where are you? Are you someone sitting here on the platform? Where are you? I'll just tell you this for your own sake. Be careful. The judgment of God on those who touch the man of God, his family, you don't want to face it. Nah, you don't want to face it. Recently I had someone say I was lazy. I'm trying. I am trying. I've been called a lot of things, but that's the first time I've been called lazy. Hey, staff members. Which one of you going to turn on me?
That's realistic, isn't it? I have a unified staff. We love and respect each other. I'm just, look, are you next? Happens, doesn't it, choir? Staff members that turn. They don't get enough credit. That pastor gets all the credit. You'll be disloyal with that kind of thinking. Who's next? Brother Hewn, is it you? You'll turn on me? We don't give you enough credit? Brother Bajan? Brother Bush? My own son? Absalom did, son. Don't forget. How about it? Mrs. Costa? Miss MacArthur? Mrs. Knight? Don't turn on me? Where you at? Where you at? I know you're out there somewhere. Who will be the next one that will stop your tithing and stop giving to the Lord like you're supposed to? What's your justification for robbing God? Somebody will. Somebody has. Do you know that when you don't tithe like you're supposed to, you're slowing the church's success? There is something that your tithe was supposed to do. It is designated by God for the advancement of the church. Something's not happening here because of you. Your tithe is a part of God's plan for this church, and when you don't do it, you're holding the church back. You personally. Yeah, you get plenty of money in your offering. That's not what it's all about. I'm trying to warn you. Are you next? Are you the next one that will get angry and pull your kids out of Martin Church Christian Academy? Are you the next one who will get mad at some leader and attack their family? I got to give this to you. Speaking of our school, a blonde teacher was giving a lesson on the circulation of the blood. Trying to make the matter clearer, she said, "Now class, if I stood on my head, the blood, as you know, would run into it, and I would turn red in the face." The class said, "Yes, ma'am, that's true." The blonde teacher then asked, "Then why is it that while I am standing upright in the ordinary position, the blood does not run into my feet?" And the little boy shouted, "'Cause your feet ain't empty like your head." Are you the next one? Will you attack someone's child in the church to get at them? And just so you know, that kind of behavior is about as evil and as low as you can get. Are you the next one that will turn your back on the old time religion? Are you the next one that will turn your back on the King James Bible? Are you the next one that will turn your back on the local New Testament Baptist church? Are you the next one that will turn your back on pastoral authority and the biblical dress code and soul winning and gospel music and ecclesiastical separation? Are you the next one? Hey, are you the next one who will reject the Holy Spirit pinpointing your sin? How bad do you want to get out of here this morning? What point in my outline are you stuck on in your head right now? You're going, "That one's eating at me. That one's eating at me." Are you next? This sermon's for somebody else, isn't it? Because you're just a visitor. You won't let the Holy Spirit work on you. You don't have to be a member of our church to get in on the Holy Spirit around here. Do you know that history can repeat itself in a positive way too? Are you next to be loyal? Are you next to be a soul winner? Are you next to be faithful? Are you next to keep your kids in the Christian school? Are you next to tithe faithfully? Are you next? Are you next to be a blessing to the pastoral staff? Are you the next assistant pastor to be loyal and do your job and not complain? Are you next? Are you next? Are you next one to support Brother Bush as the principal? Are you next? Are you the next one to believe in the old-time religion? Are you next to do right? Are you the next one to leave a gospel-preaching church lost and on your way to hell? Somebody here, if you die today, you don't know you'd go to heaven. There are people everywhere that will walk into churches today unsaved
and walk out unsaved. Are you next? Are you next? I don't know. I don't know when. I don't know where. But one thing I do know, that which has happened in the past will probably happen again. And history will repeat itself due to man's weaknesses. Doesn't have to, but it will. The big question is, are you next?